You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Let's remember there's our team over there, part of us, part of our body. They're getting ready to come back soon, I think, right? Tomorrow? Monday late night. They'll arrive. Maybe some of them want to meet him at the airport. I don't know. It'll be late at night. But can't wait to hear their testimony. So hopefully next Shabbat, they'll be sharing with us some of the stories of how God, what God did through them in that part of the world over in Zimbabwe with the Lemba tribe, the Jewish tribe of Lemba, of Lemba in Zimbabwe. And can't wait. Aren't you excited over that? Next week, Cantor Crystal Buckhalter will be with... I'm not sorry, this Wednesday night for Rosh Hashanah. She will be with us Wednesday night, sharing, leading. So be sure to come, and as Teresa, I think, was mentioning, invite your friends to this service. Tell them we will waive the $100 fee if they come. If they show up, that's the line. all right. So it's going to be a great, great service for Rosh Hashanah. And Professor Amy Jill Levine will be with us October 10th after the High Holidays. Don't forget that on your calendar, October 10th. Mark that. Is that a Tuesday night?
Yes.
Tuesday night. And we'll announce the topic before she comes. We have to, and so Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, etc. So, so Lord, we pray, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu la'asok bidvarei Torah. Lord, thank you, Lord. We bless you. You make us holy by your word, and you command us to immerse ourselves in the words of Torah. And so we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word right now. B'shem Yeshua, Gali Nai V'Avita Niflo'ot Mitorah Techa. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. I'm just going to mention it. I don't like to talk about myself really I want to focus on the Lord, obviously, and the word. But, by the way, before I said, these beautiful calendars we have. Does everyone have one of these calendars? These are also nice gifts for people. So you might want to pick up a few extra. I don't know what we charge for them or if they're just $5. Okay, and they're great gifts. But you have all the Jewish holidays and beautiful pictures. So be sure to have one of those. But just to mention, I have... Evidently, Francis and I were at the neurologist the other day, Vanderbilt, and she's noticed a chart over there, and I guess it's called partial epilepsy, what I have, and I suffer from what are called psychic seizures. So thank you for your prayers, and this last one I had gone off my medicine, was trying some natural things so for a while and doing great for a while, but evidently it didn't keep it from, and I decreased even the natural thing. So anyway, we're praying that we'll still find the right medicine. I have to be on medicine, and that has effects, which I can't stand. But praying that God will heal me completely, ultimately, and as we pray for all of our healings, amen. Thank you. But they're bad when they happen, and... make me feel like not even being around. I mean, don't want to be around, because if you can't function, can't remember things, I can't think of your names, I can't think of what year it is, I can't think of how old I am. I mean, it's very difficult. So when you don't have your mind functioning, it's pretty upsetting. All right, let's turn to Deuteronomy 30, if you would, please. Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30. Wow. Really don't deserve a congregation like this. Really don't. Wow. As we draw nigh the fall festivals on the biblical calendar, the high holidays, holy days, with the sound of the shofar this Wednesday evening, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then the festival of Sukkot, or booths, tabernacles, we pray, let's pray for a revelation of Yeshua to our people. Amen. He's the one and only mediator. That's pretty profound, isn't it? The one and only mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy 2:5, Isaiah 53, of course. The atonement for the world. So let's pray in compassion. Let's cry out in desperation for our people. Let's ask with a focused faith in the shepherd of our souls, the Alpha and Omega. And when it says the Alpha and Omega in the book of Revelation, we could just as well say the Aleph and the Tav, right, exactly, the Aleph, or the A and the Z, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the beginning and the end, the sacrificed lamb, and he's the triumphal lion of the tribe of Judah. And when John says it this way, 1 Yohanan 2:2, he is the atonement for our sins. I think he's talking about Israel's sins probably there. But he says, not only for our sins, but also for the whole world. So let's join in prayer for our servant missionaries. We prayed already for them. We'll continue there. Be back soon from working with Jewish Voice in the interior of Zimbabwe. And for Dr. Martina, Alex, Gabby, Lauren, Becky, Samuel, Jonathan, for healing, revival. Many believe that Yeshua will return in the month of Tishri, which we're in right now. And, we're in Elul, which begins actually Tishri this Wednesday evening at sundown on Rosh Hashanah. And we should be ready when the great shofar sounds from heaven as the Lord is judging the earth. Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment, which is 1 John 4:17, he mentions we have confidence in the Day of Judgment. Yom HaDin would be the Hebrew way of saying it. And the Sefer HaChaim, the Book of Life, is opened. So Book of Deuteronomy 30, this passage is read before Rosh Hashanah, before the holidays come traditionally. And we read in verse 1, now when all these things come upon you, he says, the blessing and the curse. He doesn't say if, it's the word ki in Hebrew, when, not if. Not im. He says that I've set before you, you take them to heart, all the nations where the Lord your God has banished you. And this is, God knows that we seem to only learn through our mistakes, our poor choices. He says, when all these things happen to you, is there going to be blessings and curses? It's going to happen. And but thank God it ends well. Aren't you? You know, I read the back of the book and we win. You've heard that one. I mean, in verse 2, he says here, Vishavta ad Adonai Elohecha Vishamati Bekolo. And you return to Adonai, your God, and listen to his voice. You know, it's listen, Cole. It's listen like... Shema, rather, the word is hear and heed. Hearken is an old English word that was used to try to combine the meanings because it's to listen, but also with the intent to do. And it's one word, Shema, in Hebrew. And this is where we get the idea of teshuvah, right here. He says, and there's a lot of word plays in the Hebrew, so I'm going to throw a lot of words at you that will be up there. Don't worry if you don't get them all, but don't write me for it to get them. but we can go over them another time too, more. But it's amazing, God's brilliance in this passage here, and also in Isaiah 55, where we'll look, of the Hebrew word plays or words where Hebrew, it's written, you know, Hebrew goes from which direction to which direction? right to left. And if you reverse the letters around, it makes a completely different word, and it reveals something about what God is going to do. It's amazing. And teshuva, return, he says, you shall return, v'shavta, and then he says, as far as until Adonai your God and hearken in his voice. In his voice. Shuv is used 7 different ways in verses 1 through 10 here. Rabbinic doctrine of teshuva, later developed to replace the priestly idea of kaporeh, or kapara, and teshuva in rabbinic thought today in Judaism replaces it. For us, it does not replace atonement, kapara or atonement, but actually it accompanies it, and it's based upon it. It's based upon Yeshua's sacrifice. So God never intended that our repentance, our returning to God, could take the place of the need for blood atonement, for a sacrifice for the... Of course, there's no temple standing, no Beit HaMikdash today, and no active priesthood, but it's fulfilled, as we know from the new covenant, we see it fulfilled as the book of Hebrews says, in the sacrifice and the priesthood of Yeshua. So teshuvah accompanies it, doesn't replace it. And notice it starts with a decision by us. He says that you return, you make a decision to return to the Lord your God. And in verse 2, ata avnecha. Uvanecha, you return, and you avanecha is and your children. You and your children. Think about it. I'm commanding you today. You and your children, with all your heart, with all your soul. You and your children. The promise, Acts 2:39. I'm just going to go there for a moment. Says to you, the promise is to you and your children. Acts 2:39, and he's talking about teshuva in the context there in Acts chapter 2, even has that heading in the Tree of Life translation over verse 37, teshuva, thousands are immersed. And so in this message that Peter gave at Shavuot, there's a turning, and he says, they heard this, they were cut to the heart, they said, what do we do? Fellow brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, return to God, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua and removal for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise, here's it, verse 39, is for you and your children and for all who are far away. So don't stop praying for your children. The promise is for you and your children. Isaiah 66, don't give God any rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. Isaiah 66. And you don't stop praying. It may take time. It will take time. But God will hear your prayers. And thank God for the praying moms and dads and friends and grandmoms and that pray. And don't stop praying for your children, and God hears those prayers. I thought for Jewish people, sometimes, if you grow up in a home, you don't have believers in the home, and you say, well, who prayed for me? How did I come to know the Lord? And I thought that after I came to the Lord, and then it occurred to me, Mrs. Corey, Elsie Corey, she was the woman, a Lebanese American woman who was the mother of a friend of ours, and we weren't a good influence on her daughter, but she would invite us into her house, try to feed us every time we came near her daughter. She said, come in and let me feed you. And something was different about her in a very Jewish neighborhood, area. When I came to the Lord, and at some point all of a sudden it hit me, it was her prayers. She prayed for us. Someone has to pray, but don't stop praying for your children and for others' children. And so verse 3 moves on back to, we won't spend any more time in Acts here, but back to Deuteronomy 30. Then he says in verse 3, he says, and then Adonai, your God, will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you. He will return and gather you from all the peoples where the Lord God has scattered you. So, Vashav, the word shav there, he will turn. The word turn is shav, and from shuv. And then the word for captivity is shavut there. So you see it? See the same letters, but reverse. Turn your captivity. Isn't that brilliant of God? He says, I'm going to, and shuv is, and then he says, I'll return and gather you from all the peoples. Shuv is used again. So shuv is three times here in verses 2 and 3, and it's the turning around of the Hebrew letters in the word for captivity. God reverses our situation. He turns it around. He turns a curse into what?
A blessing.
Deuteronomy 23:5. He gives us, I love this. This is Hebrew words that are, two Hebrew words that are also the same but reversed. He gives us beauty for ashes, yeah, and that same F there, and I have to look it up, but the same word in Hebrew, but letters reversed. Isaiah 61, verse 3. I love this one. He turns the valley of trouble into a door of hope. Yeah, a door of hope. Isaiah 65, verse 10. Beautiful promises in God's word. Amen. Beautiful promises. The valley of trouble, he makes it, he swings into a door of hope. And he restores to us the years that the locust has eaten. Joel 2 and 25. Aren't those great promises? Restores to you the years the locust has eaten. God says he'll do that. And he says, I'll gather you from all the peoples. Mikol ha'amim. Ha'amim. A global diaspora. God says, I'll gather you all from all the peoples. Nothing's too hard for me. And he says, though you're the furthest, verse 4, though you're the, even your outcasts are at the ends of the heavens, the furthest, the ends of the heavens, from there, Misham, from there, he says, I will, the Lord will gather you. And from there, let's say Misham. Misham, there we go. Thanks, Miranda. Misham, say it again. Misham, from there I'll gather you. From there, the Lord says, right there. It says if, and again im, and then from there, at the end of the heavens. And again, the words are all turned around here. Again, it's very hard to see, but bakatz. Hashemayim, from the heavens, Hashemayim, same letters in Misham, from there, ends of the heavens, from there, I'll gather you, from there, Hebrew heavens, Shemayim, there, Sham, from the ends, gather, the letters juxtaposed, and so again, apply it. God reaches as far as he needs to, and turns everything around in order to restore us. Aren't you glad for that? He reaches as far as he needs to. How far is too far? At what point in Jewish history does God say, it's time to switch people groups? These people are too far gone for too long. Thank God he, now some people believe that. Replacement theology believes that, right? But thank God, God's plan from the beginning was no, he doesn't give up on Israel, but his plan was to use Israel to reach the whole world, to reach the nations. His heart's for everybody, but he doesn't give up on Israel. And so I have said it this way before, you knew it, you blew it, so you went through it, now I'll do it. And God brings us back around. Look at Isaiah 55, please. Isaiah 55, verse 6. I love this passage for this time of to look at this. And again, going to throw a bunch of Hebrew words to you. Seek Adonai while he may be found. The word seek is darash. Let's say darash. Seek means to seek thoroughly. Seek thoroughly. And guess what the word for find is? Matzah. Matzah, right? Yeah, like Passover, matzah. Matzah, you know, that's why we find the hidden matzah. There's something. But we find matzah means to find deliberately. to bring out. Seek Adonai. Seek him thoroughly while he may be found, deliberately found. There's a time when God says, I'm near, I'm really close, you take advantage of it. Now's the time I'm working in your heart. Don't let your heart get hardened. Call upon him while he's near. The word call is kara. Let's say kara. All right? Call upon him, kara. And it ends with one Hebrew letter less than the word for near is karov. Let's say karov. All right? So look at that. The karov is one letter more. Instead of the aleph, there's a vav, and as far as the root of the word. So call one letter less than near. Aleph versus a bet. So he's so close when we call on him. He's one letter away. God's one letter away. All right? Call means to summon and cause a change in direction. The word near means to come close, to come close. So he says, return, verse 7, return, let him return to Adonai. And this word shuv, the word shuv, the root really means to move backward, to move backward. All right? So it may think sometimes like we're going backwards in order to go forward, and that's exactly what we have to do. Sometimes we have to go backward in order to go forward, and that's okay. And people around you may not want you to do that. They may say, no, you got to keep going forward. So there's a time to go backward in order to go forward. We're returning to the Lord, and it says he will have compassion on us. The word compassion is racham. Let's say racham. Racham, it means to protect from harm. This is a beautiful word, like maternal mercy. The word rechem, if you change the letters, the vowels, which you can't see, the vowels in racham, the letters to rechem, the word for rechem is, anyone know? Womb. The womb of the woman. The womb. So it's a compassion. It's the maternal. You say, well, God is just a father. But he's God's a mother too. I mean, the mother heart, the woman came out of man. It's all in him. It's all in him. He is a motherly heart as well as he's the father. And so this is the word that means he protects us from our, like a mom protects her child. And it's he has compassion, abundant compassion. Let's see, compassion on him, and he'll abundantly pardon. The word abundant, rabbah. Let's say rabbah. Okay, rabbah. It means to multiply, and pardon is salach. Let's say salach. Means to progress through forgiveness, to progress through forgiveness, make progress through forgiveness. God says he'll multiply that forgiveness. Multiply that forgiveness to us. For my thoughts, verse 8, are not, for not, the Hebrew wording, for not are my thoughts your thoughts, and not are your ways my ways. The thoughts determine the ways, the course of action. And God says that his and ours are completely different. Completely different. Thoughts, thinking, chashav, let's say the word chashav, the modern word I remember for learning in Ulpan, learning Hebrew, modern word for computer is machshevet, comes from this word. What's the computer do? The computer's thinking, you know. So they gave it that, took that root and created the word for computer in modern, in Israeli Hebrew today. but it means to join. And to combine separate items. That's what the word chashav means in Hebrew. To join, to combine separate items. God says, verse 9, this is my way, he says, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, they're higher than ours to the same degree as are the heavens to the earth. That's a big difference. Drastically different. Not comparable. Cannot be naturally, I said, bridged. The word higher, gava, let's say gava, means to rise high through a concentration of elements. So, guess what? Look what happened at Yeshua's resurrection and ascension. In Ephesians 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, this power he exercised, it's talking about the exceeding greatness of his power towards us in keeping the working of his mighty strength, Ephesians 1, 19. This power he exercised in Messiah when he raised him from the dead. And what did he do? He raised him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in heaven. It is finished. John 19:30. I don't know if it's tetelestai or tetelestai, however you say it, the Greek word, but I have to look it up. But it is paid in full, completely done. It's done. He's seated. He's reigning. We haven't seen the effect of it all yet. We will one day. But Yeshua isn't running around. He's seated in that sense. The work is done. The redemption is paid in full. And he is far above, verse 21, any ruler, authority, power, leader, and every name that is named, not only in the Olam HaZeh, this world, I like that the TLV puts that in, it's nice, the Olam HaZeh, because that's the idea, but also in the Olam Haba. Let's say Olam HaZeh, that's this world, Olam Haba, Olam HaZeh, the next world, the world, this world, and the world to come. So that's what happened. He's far above any ruler, and this is his exceeding great power toward us who keep trusting him. This is it. So now, in Messiah, we have the mind of Messiah. Is that right? Does the Bible say that? 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Messiah. Does it? Yes, it does. we have the mind of the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have a new mind in Yeshua, a renewed mind, Ephesians 4:23. It's from above, or as, I think I put a marker here, Colossians 3, I can quote, but I'll read it. Well, he says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things that are where?
Above.
Where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Focus your mind on things where? Above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. We are in him. We are in him. I believe some 90 times in the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant. We're in him. That's our position. We're in him, dead with him, buried with him, risen with him, seated with him. We are in him now, in Messiah. And that's so now we have his mind. That's a mind that is above. So that God's thoughts higher to rise high, gava, rise high through a concentration of elements, that's the mind of Messiah. We have his mind now in him. We're not perfect. We don't experience it all the time, but that's available to us. That's what we have. Turn now to Luke, and finally Luke 15. Luke 15. That's what we have in Messiah. And so returning to the Lord, we have three stories in Luke chapter 15, those beautiful stories. But he says, the tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to hear Yeshua. The Pharisees and the Torah scholars began to complain, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They resented the fact that he was approachable. They resented that he wasn't keeping a wall between them. And so he told his parables, so he resorted to parables with them. And he said, which man among you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, he'll not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until he finds it. And when he's found it, he'll put it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he'll call his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. I tell you, the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one repenting sinner, teshuva, one person who returns, than over the 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. So they were all okay. 99 people, they were good, right? They didn't do anything wrong. 99, they thought they were okay, but they weren't. He leaves the 99. One goes astray, the shepherd leaves the other 99 to go find it. Then Yeshua said, let me tell you another story. Which woman, she has 10 silver coins, loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house. This is what she'll do, and she'll search thoroughly until she finds it. When she's found it, she calls together friends, neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I found the coin I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So he goes through the same story, same conclusion again. One, God cares about one person who's gone astray, one person who's out there. And he leaves. He says, leave. She leaves. She goes after that one coin and looks. Then he said, a certain man, third story, and the long one that we all know, that's so powerful. Yeshua said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of the property that comes to me. So he divided his wealth between them. He said, I want to go. And not many days, the younger son gathered everything and traveled to far country, squandered his inheritance, and you know the story. He ends up in sent into a field. He's poor. He loses. He spends his money. He's left with nothing. He's feeding pigs. These were kosher pigs, if you notice. They're feeding pigs, and then he's longing. Been a long time since we lived in Israel, but what did we used to eat that was taste? Oh, shrimp. That wasn't shrimp. They did have frozen shrimp that weren't shrimp, but they tasted just like shrimp, but they were kosher. We were in Israel. I don't know. Never seen it here, but they probably have. But anyway, and then carob pods. It translates right. Verse 16. He's longing to fill up on the carob pods that the pigs were eating. Anyone ever eat carob pods? Carob pods. They were trees that grow all over Israel. You see them. They're like when you have nothing else, they'll get you by. And he came to his senses, verse 17, and he said, I'm dying of hunger here, and my father's hired workers have plenty of food. They're treated well. I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your presence. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. And he got up and went to his own father. And don't you love this? Verse 20, but while he was still where? Far away, far away. While we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Romans 5:6, while we were yet without strength. 5:8, while we were still yet sinners. 5:8, 5:10, when we were enemies, God reconciled us through the death of his son. It gets worse and worse. God says, as far as I go, I will reach to you. As far. He's far away, and the father goes after him. He felt compassion. He ran. He fell on his neck, and he kissed him. No words of condemnation, no words, you know, why did you do that? Have you learned your lesson? You should have known better. Father, he says, and the son goes into his rehearsed speech, Father, I've sinned against heaven and your presence, no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupts him, verse 22, and he says, quick, bring out the best robe, put it on him, a ring, put the ring on his finger in his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's celebrate with a feast, for the son of mine was dead and he's come back to life. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And then, remember, the older son hears about it and he gets angry, verse 28. He's upset. He wouldn't go in. He's being stubborn, sort of like Jonah. Reminds you of Jonah sitting on the, pouting under the gourd. He's not going to go in. The father comes outside to him and pleads with him. And he says, the father reasons with him and says, my son, this don't, you know, I'm give everything I have is yours. Verse 32, was right for me to celebrate, rejoice, for this your brother of yours was dead, but he's come back to life. He was lost, but he is found. So, two sons, younger and older, father's instant to restore him when he returns. Instant. The difference between the son versus the sheep and the silver coins, the son exercised volition. He chose. He chose to leave. Stupid choice, but he chose to leave, but he made a wise choice now. Chose to return. He chose to come back. It could have been so hard. On the way back, I'm sure all the thoughts could have come to him. No, I'm sure the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12, right? 12, the accuser of the brethren, I'm sure, was saying, he won't accept you. Don't waste your time. Give up. You know, it's too much. You're wasting your time. I'm sure all the thoughts. But here's what I want to leave you with. What am I doing? A few thoughts. What am I doing to search for sinners? What am I doing to search for sinners? Where do I look? Where do I look? Am I indifferent? The sheep, he left the 99. He could have said, why worry? I have 99 others, just only one sheep. Why worry about the sheep? I have 99 others. I'm too tired. I have too many others to worry about. That could have been the rationale. And the coin, what's the big deal? I've got 9 others. It's too much trouble. It's too hard to find. How immediate am I to welcome back someone who is repentant? Do I care what others think? Do I feel I need to prove their sincerity first? Test their genuine repentance? The son, he gives him the robe, the ring. Maybe he could have thought, what if he said, the robe, the ring, the fattened calf are too expensive. Let's wait and see first if he really means it. Let's see, anyway, it may upset his brother if I do this. The father ignored that. He implemented Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. I read it again. Seek Adonai while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. He was near to him. He was just one letter away. And so he abundantly pardoned him, or multiplied forgiveness to him. One letter away. Father, we thank you.